Good morning, church. Let's stand and rise. We're going to worship the Lord. He's alive. Amen. Yes.
Woo. Amen. Ooh, I was buried beneath my shame.
Thank you, Lord.
And who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb.
Tell him.
Till I met you.
Church, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were there, they were wondering about this. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Amen. Jesus is alive. We want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for being here. We want to encourage you to continue to worship our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 Heidi, would you come again?
bless you, Lord.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, no place to begin.
Thank you, Lord.
Your love made a way to let mercy come in.
Yes.
When death was arrested and my life began.
Thank you, Lord.
And ash was redeemed, only you leaving me. Was given a name.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance.
Yes.
When death was arrested and my life began.
Sing about His grace.
Oh, Your grace covered me. Washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with You. Oh yes, it's Your endless love pouring down on us. You have. From my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was arrested.
Oh, yes.
Oh, He canceled my debt. He called me His friend. Oh, oh, Your grace
today that you are Lord. We thank you for your presence with us here in this sanctuary today, for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, for the wonderful salvation that we've experienced through you today, Lord. Thank you so much for the amazing grace of our God that has changed our lives and changed our eternal destiny. We love you and praise you this morning. Thank you for all of the people of God gathered here this morning. May you continue to lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Good morning. And happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord with us today. Would you take a moment before you're seated to reach out and greet one another and welcome one another to the house of the Lord today, please. God bless you. You're up.
Good morning. Welcome this happy Resurrection Sunday. 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 15, beginning with verse 3, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." And to verse 12, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." Amen. To the slaughter, didn't make a sound.
Yes, the good news this morning, Sunday is here. Yeah, and Jesus is alive today. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, congregation, for worshiping heartily today as to the Lord together. It's a great joy to be in the house of the Lord with you on this Resurrection Sunday morning and to declare every Sunday together that Jesus is alive. And he is our reason for being. Jesus is the reason for the season at Christmas, at Easter, and even on Valentine's Day, even on St. Patrick's Day. Jesus is the reason for the season. 4th of July, you name it, every day of the year, Jesus is the reason. We celebrate and sing together, and we serve a wonderful Lord. Could you say amen? This morning, we're looking to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, as we declare that Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is the keeper of the keys, the keeper of the keys. And we hear a great declaration from the Lord Jesus to John, the apostle on the island of Patmos. The year is about 95 AD. John the apostle had served long and hard as the apostle and as the bishop over the church at Ephesus and the surrounding region in the province of Asia. John was a powerful preacher. They could not keep him down. John the apostle is the only apostle of the 12 who did not die a martyr's death. He continued to live, and he eventually would die as an old man in the city of Ephesus. But throughout the years of his ministry, John faced a variety of very challenging persecutions that came against him to try to destroy him. And as we come to our scripture today at the book of Revelation, the year is about 95 AD. The Roman Empire has arrested and tried John and convicted him of causing trouble in the kingdom, in the Roman kingdom. And they have sentenced him as a political prison out to the island of Patmos, a work island, where he would supposedly spend the rest of his life. Now, that would not be the end of the story. About a year later, the administration would change. A new emperor would come to Rome. John would be released and would return home to his beloved church at Ephesus. But while he's here on the island of Patmos, the Lord provides for him the powerful visions that comprise for us the book of Revelation. How many of you know that in our darkest hour, God can shine through with the brightest light? Would you say amen? And as John is a prisoner on that island, the Lord reveals to him a powerful vision, ultimately a series of visions that would speak about the coming future of the world and the future of eternity. And we begin this morning by looking at a powerful declaration Jesus makes right at the start of the book of Revelation to John the Apostle. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, John writes these words. I, John, your brother and companion, in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, I was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around, writes John, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face, this is Jesus now, his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Amen. The key is an ancient technology used for locking and unlocking, opening and closing. The first key mentioned in the Bible is found in Judges chapter 3, dating back more than 3,200 years. We live in a world of ever-increasing technology, but keys are still vital instruments for everyday living. Even the fanciest cars with keyless entries, anybody have one of those? Even those fancy cars with keyless entries all have a backup key to be used when the keyless entry fails. That's true. And I would venture to bet that almost everybody here in the house today has a key with them of some sort. We know it because many of you lose them while you're in church every Sunday. I grew up in a household where at least once a week, early in the morning, I could hear my dear old dad's voice echoing through the house. Lola, I can't find my keys. Lola, do you have my keys? Lola, did you take my keys? Lola, what did you do with my keys? We found through experience over the years that Lola never had anything to do with those lost keys. It was all my dear old dad, but if dad couldn't find his keys, he might be late for work, and that was not my dad in any sense of the word. My dad was a faithful worker. He eventually would find the keys and start the truck and head on out to work. When we lose our keys, we're in trouble. Without the right key, we're locked in, or perhaps locked out. Now we know what a physical key looks like, but keys are spiritual and symbolic as well. You've heard about the key to success, perhaps. Maybe you've heard about the key to happiness. Without the right key, we can be locked out of those things. We can be locked out of dreams and plans and purposes. We can be locked out of blessings and benefits and potentials. Or we could be locked into impossible situations, things we cannot manage to get out of. When we can't unlock the door, it's hard to move into the things we want to move into, and it's hard to move out of the things that we so desperately need to move out of. We need keys to be able to move into the good places and out of the bad places. Without the right key, we could be locked out of heaven itself. But thank God today, on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus declared, I hold the keys. I hold the keys. Jesus is today the keeper of the keys. And so I invite you to look with me this morning at three keys held in the hands of Jesus that are absolutely indispensable for us. How many here today have ever been trapped in a situation that you couldn't get out of? Anybody here ever been trapped in a situation you couldn't seem to get out of? Is there anybody here who's ever wanted to move into a new situation, but you couldn't seem to find the right door, the right pathway, the right opportunity? I want you to know that Jesus holds the keys today. And as we examine the declarations of Jesus in Scripture today, we begin first of all by declaring that Jesus holds the keys to death itself. That's our declaration from Jesus here in Revelation chapter 1. We see it in verse 17. When I saw him, John writes, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. I hold the keys to death. Jesus, in his resurrection from the dead, conquered the last enemy, the greatest enemy, the most powerful enemy ever to face the human race. Jesus conquered death. As we sang this morning at his resurrection, death was arrested. And Jesus became the Lord. He really, Jesus always was the Lord over death and hell. Jesus certainly was always the Son of God. But in his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus accomplished those victories on our behalf. And so Jesus holds the keys to death. What does the book of Revelation declare about Jesus? Well, the book of Revelation declares that he is the resurrected one. We've been celebrating that today. Jesus, the Son of God, who came to this world as God's only begotten Son, born in a manger, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, performed great miracles and taught us great things about God. Jesus lived on this earth as the Son of God in the flesh. And Jesus walked the road to Calvary where he willingly gave himself to die on an old rugged cross. He died there on the cross on that Friday afternoon or whatever day it might have been for those of you who have some other kind of a thought process about it. Jesus died on the cross, but early on the first day of the week, the Bible declares that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose again from the dead. He is the resurrected one, and Jesus is the only one who has ever defeated death. The most powerful enemy that we could ever face, because death looms out there ahead of every one of us. And either death will defeat us, or we will have to have somebody who has defeated death for us. And the good news is Jesus has conquered death. There have been many religious leaders down through the centuries of time, through the millennia of history, but nobody measures up to Jesus. As I heard a preacher say one time, there have been many tracks that have led into the graveyard, but only one set of footprints leads out of the graveyard. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and on the first day of the week rose again from the dead. And Romans chapter 1 declares that Jesus has been declared by his resurrection from the dead to be Lord. Amen. He is Lord. He is the resurrected one. He is also the redeeming one. I love the way Jesus expresses this in the book of Revelation. He says, I was dead. Jesus acknowledges it himself here to John. I was dead. Yes, he was dead. He died on an old rugged cross, died there as a criminal in our place to take our judgment upon himself, so that you and I, who have committed countless sins, and as I look out across the sanctuary, I'm reminded of how true that is today. We who have committed countless sins have been saved by the death of one who committed no sin. And Jesus, the Bible says, declared that he had the power to lay his life down for us and to take it up again. He said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely of my own accord. Why did Jesus come into this world? Jesus came into this world to die on the cross, to pay the price for our eternal forgiveness, so that we might have the gift of everlasting life. Hallelujah. Jesus is the redeeming one. I don't know who you are today, or where you might have come from, or what you might have done. Most of you in this 8:30 service are dyed-in-the-wool Christians, because who comes to church at 8:30 in the morning? But I would say this morning that if you happen to wander into this place today and you think that perhaps your life has been too ugly or too disobedient or too distasteful for Jesus to save, I remind you today that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole wide world. He is looking, he is seeking for the lost. He is calling all to come to him and receive the amazing grace that was purchased at his crucifixion. Jesus is the resurrected one. He is the redeeming one. And thirdly, here in the book of Revelation, he is the resurrecting one. Not only is Jesus resurrected himself, but now because he has been raised from the dead, he is able also to bring us from the death of sin into the new life of the kingdom of God. And he raises us up from the dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but Jesus has made us alive in him. He's the resurrecting one. I'm telling you, he can raise you to a brand new life. He can bring you into a brand new place where his purposes will prevail in your life and his blessings will flow. Jesus is the resurrecting one. I remind you that the scripture teaches us, if we had time to move through the book of Revelation, we would learn that not only does Jesus raise us from the dead spiritually, but there's coming a day out there in the future when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ will be raised in the power of Jesus. Jesus will come, and even those bodies that have been laid in the ground will be raised from the dead by the power of the voice of the Son of God. He is the resurrecting one. And we find that he is the reassuring one. John says, when I saw this powerful Jesus, I fell at his feet as though dead. I was overwhelmed, so overwhelmed at the greatness, the brightness of this glorified Jesus. But the Bible says that Jesus reached over, placed his hand upon John, and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the key. Jesus touched John and said, don't be afraid. And Jesus is the reassuring one today. He reaches to us wherever we are, and he says to us, I'm here for you. If you'll simply turn your life over to me and come to me, if you'll reach out to me and trust in me, says Jesus, you'll not have to live a life of fear. You can live a life of confidence and peace and joy. Jesus is the reassuring one. While we're camped out here in the book of Revelation this morning, let me add an additional point to the outline this morning. If you'll give me that liberty, he is not only the resurrected one and the redeeming one and the resurrecting one and the reassuring one. He, Jesus, is the returning one. And he is coming again someday, first to rescue us and then to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then he will prove ultimately that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Jesus holds the keys to death. But what about today, you say? What about the locked up, blocked up, closed down situations of our lives? Can Jesus make a difference for us in the here and now? Well, I'm glad to say this morning that we have another revelation of Jesus as the keeper of the keys. It's found a couple chapters further on in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, as Jesus is writing to a local church. And listen to what Jesus says to that local church, Revelation 3, verse 7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Right now, this is not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Okay? This is Philadelphia in the first century in the province of Asia, over there where what we would call Turkey now. And Jesus is writing a letter to that church. The city of brotherly love is what Philadelphia means. And Jesus says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. Everybody say, the key of David. He holds the key of David. Now that is a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy that we won't even take time to go into this morning. But I want you to hear what Jesus says about holding this key of David. Jesus says about himself, what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Jesus says, I hold the key that can open impossible doors and can lock other doors tight as can be. What I open cannot be closed, and what I close cannot be opened. If we were to read further on in this letter to the church at Philadelphia, we would hear Jesus say to that church, after declaring himself to be the key holder and the door opener, we would hear Jesus say to them, behold, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. And I'm here to declare this morning that our Jesus is the one who can make a way where there seems to be no way. Jesus holds the keys to doors, to locked doors, to difficult doors, to impossible situations. He is able to open any door and close any door that needs to be closed. I have often said to people down through the years, as people have sought the will of God and prayed for the will of God to be done in their lives and have asked the Lord to give them direction, I have often said to people that many times God leads people through closed doors and open doors. As we trust Him, as we give it all to Him, as we lean not on our own understanding, but we trust the Lord completely, and as we believe that the Lord is the one who directs our steps and leads us in our daily living, then we can trust that the Lord, who is able to open doors before us, is also the one who can close doors before us when that is not the place that we ought to go. He is the one who opens and closes doors. These local church people in Philadelphia were hemmed in by enemies. But Jesus says, I have unlocked a door before you. It seems there's no way out, but Jesus says, I am making a way out for you. It looks like they're going to close themselves, your enemies are going to close themselves around you and smother you to death. In fact, Jesus says to that church at Philadelphia, I know you don't have very much strength even. And you feel like your strength is failing, and you feel like you're not going to make it sometimes. But Jesus says, I am opening a door before you so that you can walk right out in the presence of your enemies like the Israelites. You can march out boldly in full view of the Egyptians. It's not your enemies who control the power over your future. It's the Lord Jesus who has your future in His hands. And He is able to open the door before us. Jesus holds the keys. He unlocks the doors that imprison us and makes a way into a new place. He opens doors of dark prisons. When we find ourselves in bondage, the Lord Jesus is able to break the prison bars asunder. He opens doors of difficult problems. When it feels like we don't know what we're going to do and like a situation, have you ever been in a place where the situation seemed too complicated for you? Anybody been there? I have been there. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? What are the decisions I need to make? Sometimes we take all of that upon ourselves when we need to understand that Jesus is the one who can make a way before us and open a door even in the midst of difficult situations, difficult problems. When we feel trapped and restrained and confused and even hopeless, Jesus offers a way out. He opens doors of divine provision as well. When we need the blessing of God in our lives, how many of you know it's the Lord Jesus who holds the keys to the door of God's blessing? In fact, I love to think of it from the context of Malachi chapter 3 in the Old Testament, where the Lord says, if you'll be faithful to me, I have the power to open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you blessings that you cannot contain, blessings you don't even know about. It's the Lord Jesus who has the key to the blessings of God. There are people today who walk through life, they don't have any concern about Jesus. They don't think about Jesus. They've never surrendered their lives to Jesus. But oh, how they wish they could experience the blessings of God. Oh, how they wish they could experience the favor of God. What they don't understand is that Jesus and a relationship with Jesus is the avenue, is the path, is the doorway to the blessings of God. I'm here to tell you this morning that every blessing from the Father comes through the provision and the payment of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who paid that price, not only for us to be forgiven, but for us to come into the favor of God. And I would say to you this morning, if you're looking for the provisions of God in your life that come in so many different categories, we're not just talking about money this morning, we're talking about spiritual blessings and reality. So many commodities that come to us as blessings from our Heavenly Father, they all flow through Jesus. And He opens doors of divine provision, and he opens doors to divine purpose, to call us out of meaninglessness and mediocrity and bring us into the plans and the purposes of God. I know that most human beings come to a place at one point in their lives where they say to themselves, isn't there something more significant and meaningful to my life than what I'm experiencing right now? That is perhaps what people refer to as the God-shaped void that's in all of us. We don't want to just live our few years in meaninglessness and purposelessness. We want to be able to step into God's plan for our lives and accomplish God's will and his purpose. We want to be part of something greater than ourselves. Could you say amen? We want our lives to count. And it's God, it's Jesus who opens doors to divine purpose. He calls us into new places of living for the Lord. Jesus holds the keys. He holds the keys to death. He holds the keys to the doors that we need to have opened. He can unlock your hopes and dreams. He can release you from prisons and boxes and barriers that have kept you bound for a long time. Listen. There is always hope in Jesus. Always hope in Jesus. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Jesus holds the keys to death. Jesus holds the keys to doors. And our third revelation from Scripture today is that Jesus holds the keys to our ultimate destiny. What we would call in this Scripture the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Jesus holds the keys to the kingdom. We see it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus says to his disciples, "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus says, "I have and I am willing to give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus gave Peter those keys that day. Power to bind and loose in kingdom matters. Much has been said over the years about binding and loosing, but the reality is Jesus is the one who holds the key again to open things that are bound and to tie up things that are loose and to bring about his plan and his will and his purpose. And he is the God, Jesus is the God, the Lord, who can lead us into the destiny that God has for us. And we see it in Scripture. Jesus is the one who unlocks the power for elevated living. Jesus can bring us into the kingdom of God. That's the abundant life, the victory, the divine perspective that we need to get into if we're going to be victorious in this old, dark, wicked world in which we live. How many of you here today, you don't want to be dragged down into the swamp of this world? You want to be able to live above all of that through the power of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one who unlocks that power. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans said, "The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." If ever there were qualities that we need to be able to access in this world in which we live today, those three kingdom qualities are vital for us to experience victory in this dark and troubled world. We need righteousness. We need the peace of God. And we need the joy of the Lord that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that sound like a good life? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That beats the alternatives by a long shot. And the Apostle Paul said those are the kingdom qualities. Jesus unlocks the power for living in God's purposes and in his provisions, his resurrection power in us. Many in this world are wandering around looking for the living among the dead. As we've already heard today in scripture reading and song, the living are not among the dead. The angel said to the women, why look for the living among the dead? And many are looking out in the graveyards of this world among the dead for some kind of life. They are broken and hopeless. But there's a way out of this world's darkness and a way into the light of God. And Jesus holds the keys. Jesus is the answer today. He's the answer in a world of chaos and confusion. Jesus holds the key to our destiny. He is the key to hope. He is the key to happiness. He unlocks the power for elevated living. And lastly today, Jesus unlocks the portal to eternal life. Jesus said to Peter that day, I give to you the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one's going to get to the Father except through me. Now, when we think about getting to the Father, we have to look back in the first couple of verses of John chapter 14 to see what Jesus is even talking about. Jesus is talking about going away and preparing a place for us in heaven, a place of eternal life. And Jesus is saying, no one is going to get to the Father and no one is going to get to heaven except through me. Jesus holds that key. Jesus is the ticket to heaven, huh? He's the passport. He's the one who has the key to our eternal life. And so I ask you this morning, do you need a way out? Do you need an open door? Do you need a way into God's life and strength? Do you need to be released from some bondage or prison that has held you captive, some box that has kept you limited for so long? Do you need a way into the blessings and life of God? Jesus is the keeper of the keys. He is the Lord of locksmiths. You know, it's hard to find a good locksmith, isn't it? In Jefferson City, I've been in Jefferson City all my life. As far as I know, there's only one locksmith you can ever get a hold of here in Jefferson City. It's Tyler Lock and Key. How many of you have ever called Tyler to get you out of a bind? Oh, yeah. Well, Jesus is the Lord of the locksmiths. He can open any door. He is the way maker. So I urge you today to give it all to him. He's alive. Amen. And he can take care of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please, everybody across the sanctuary. How many of you appreciate that 30-minute sermon? Let me hear a good amen to that. Oh, what a powerful reality is to know Jesus today. Amen. How many of you here in the house, you are so glad that sometime before today, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to live in your heart and life and has changed you dramatically. How many of you are thankful for what Jesus has done in your life today? We're so glad today. I want to say, if you're here today and you've never made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, his arms are open to you today. He welcomes all who will call upon his name. In fact, Jesus is the one who, in Matthew chapter 11, sends out this altar call. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened down, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Those are some religious sounding words, but what Jesus is saying is this. If you've had a lot of troubles in your life and you're just worn down, beaten down, you're just worn out, it's time to give it all to Jesus. And learn that it's in Jesus where rest comes, where peace comes, where joy comes, where life comes, and ultimately where the hope of heaven comes. It's all through Jesus. And I don't know, I preach just about every Sunday morning of the year, but there's no greater privilege than to preach on Easter Sunday morning and declare that Jesus Christ is alive. He is Lord. He's the lover of our souls. And it's our joy to live in Him today. So let's bow our heads together for just a moment all across the sanctuary. I promise not to embarrass anybody today or call you out in any particular way, but are there some of you here today who would say, today I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and receive His salvation, His forgiveness, His new life in me today? We'll say a corporate prayer together here in just a few moments. But is there someone like that? Are there some here today who would say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus and become a follower of Christ today? If that's you, lift your hand, hold it up. Just wave it at me wherever you're standing. Just lift it up quickly and wave it at me. Anybody across the sanctuary, I want to receive the life of Jesus today. Please pray for me. Yes. All right, let's do this today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to lead us in a prayer this morning and ask you to repeat the prayer with me today. And pray that God will hear you. He will hear you as you're calling upon Him today. So, congregation, you pray it out loud with me today as we pray together. Dear God in heaven, I come to you today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me, for dying on the cross, for my forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. You are alive today. I declare, Jesus, you are Lord. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive my sins. Make me new. Give me a brand new life and a brand new future. Help me to live for you every day of my life until I see you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing together as our final song. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Because He lives.
upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go in the blessing of the Lord today, everyone.